We will first offer prayers that we sang yesterday also. Srimad Bhagavatam.
Sarva Shastra Vipinusha Sarva Vedeka Sattva Sarva Siddhanga Ratnaga Sarva Loketa Drishtada Sarva Bhagavata Srimad Bhagavata Kaliyugam Dorita Arisha Sri Krishna Parivartita
Srimad Bhagavatam.
O nectar churned from the ocean of all the Vedic scriptures, O most prominent transcendental fruit of all the Vedas, O you who are enriched with the jewels of all spiritual philosophical conclusions, O you who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world, O life breath of the Vaishnava devotees, O Lord, you are the sun
which has arisen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. You are actually Lord Krishna, who has returned among us.
Paramananda Pataya Vimarsha Sarvayate Sarvana Sarvashaya
O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisances to you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss. For your syllables rain pure love of God upon the reader. You are always to be served by everyone, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bliss, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen, please don't ever leave me. Please become manifest in my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna.
Mukam karati vacharam bhangam langhayate girim yat kipam tamam mande shri puram jinatharam Om Jnana Timrandasya Genanjana Shavakaya Chakshya Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah.
So, in these prayers, we have the purpose of our Bhakti Vaibhav course. If you study these prayers, you will understand what we hope to achieve at the end of this course, or at least at the end of our lifetimes, before we go. Anybody need some handouts? You can tell. So, first of all, we want to invoke the presence of Lord Krishna by chanting and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. You can see up here. We want to invoke the presence of Lord Krishna. Just like if we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we will find that many times the demigods are performing sacrifice, and hopefully Lord Krishna appears in the sacrifice, or Lord Vishnu. So in our sacrifice, we are also hoping to invoke the presence of Lord Krishna. Then secondly, we want to get a spiritual vision from the sun of Srimad Bhagavatam, which we can use to change the quality of our lives. We are blind. We're captured by Maya. But Prabhupada explained that this Bhagavatam will give us the light so we can see properly. Then third, we want to learn how to serve Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarvada Sarvasevaya, the sound incarnation of Krishna, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. We want to do this in this course. Fourth, we want to make Srimad Bhagavatam our friend, our guru, our companion. And and our deliverer. Anytime we need help, we turn to Srimad Bhagavatam. Fifth, I think, we want to experience a change of heart. In this class, we're going to leave all our anarthas behind. At the end of this class, we want you to come out a different person, transformed, change of heart, just like it says in Srimad Bhagavatam, that this Bhagavatam is meant to create a revolution. And the first, it has to be in our hearts, not just for everyone else. Well, we often think, yes, we're going to create a revolution all over the world, but the revolution starts here, in our heart. So we want to make this revolution. We want to change the face of the earth. So therefore, it has to come in our hearts first. We want to become transformed. Then the last is to imbibe the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Because through Srila Prabhupada, we are receiving all of this mercy, all of this knowledge. We wouldn't be here today if it were not for the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Okay, so first I would like to offer obeisances to Bhurijan Prabhu. He told me that I should learn what is in every chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So trying to follow his instructions, I made a book, which is going to come out soon. It will be for this course also. It's called Srimad Bhagavatam at a Glance. This is a fold-out in the back of the book. This is actually, we were praying for Krishna to appear before us. So Krishna, the form of Krishna, Krishna has appeared in this class today. So we can be very grateful that he has come before us in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the form of Bhagavatam. Each of these lotuses represent a canto. Krishna's lotus feet are the first and second cantos, his legs third and fourth, his waist is the fifth canto, his chest is sixth canto, and his arms are seventh and eighth canto, his smiling face is tenth canto, and his forehead is 11, and 12 is his head. So we are going to begin at his lotus feet, the first, and otherwise we cannot get to his smiling face. We cannot jump all of a sudden. So just like in the West, they have these huge shopping centers, malls. They call them malls. In the mall, in different places of the mall, you will find maps. So on the map, if you're one place in the mall, there will be an X. You are here. So on this map, we are here. Krishna's lotus feet. First and second cantos, we are here. And we will begin our journey, our meditation on Lord Krishna from his lotus feet. And then we will get the mercy. Actually, there's a beautiful purport by Srila Prabhupada in the first canto. It said that the devotees are very humble. They're always at Krishna's lotus feet. And Krishna, he's leaning favorably towards his devotees. He's looking towards his devotees, so he's always looking that way. So we will start at Krishna's lotus feet. The first and second cantos, I like to think of them as representing the book Bhagavat and devotee Bhagavat. We'll hear a lot about the book Bhagavat and devotee Bhagavat in the first and second cantos. Especially in the first canto, we'll hear all about the devotees, how Narada Muni, he was very gentle, he was very submissive, he got the mercy of his spiritual master. How Sutta was gentle, he got the mercy of his spiritual master. So we'll learn in the beginning chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, what is the proper attitude for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and what is the proper attitude for speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Because all of you will be hearing, you will also be speaking in your groups, you will be giving presentations. So both of these things you have to learn, and we want to train up everyone here to become a teacher of Srimad Bhagavatam. That was Prabhupada's desire. So the sages of Narasimhanya, they were so eager to hear, that they were willing to sit 1,000 years in the forest. And if we seriously study Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said, each and every verse will take at least 1 month to understand. So 18,000 months, if you want to really understand Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada asked the devotee, how many years is that? 1,500 years. So we won't go so deeply as that, but we will try. We're going to actually do an overview of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we're going to go very quickly. And another time, Prabhupada said, it requires, just to understand one verse, 7 months. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he lectured on the first verse, 3 months. Just on the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the first canto, second canto, first canto is an introduction to Bhagavatam. From the first and second cantos, the whole Bhagavatam expands. From the first three verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's called, the first three verses are called Mangalacharan, auspicious invocation to Bhagavatam, to the book. From the first three verses, the whole Bhagavatam expands. From the verses in the seventh chapter describing Vyasadeva's meditation, the whole Bhagavatam expands. From the four verses in the second canto called Chatushloki, the whole Bhagavatam expands. So we will be studying all of these verses in this course, first and second cantos. So Shukadeva Goswami, in the fourth chapter of second canto, prays for empowerment to speak. Devotees of the Lord don't think that they can do anything without the help of the Lord. Actually, we're nothing. We have nothing. All we have is the mercy of our spiritual master. That's all we have. We have no intelligence. We have no qualities even, except what he gives us. So this is the mood of hearing and speaking Bhagavatam. But if Krishna, if we can purify ourselves, Krishna will give us something to say. He will give us some qualities. He will make us devotees. And so then we can actually speak. So it's a good idea, before you study, you should pray. Before you do your studies, you'll have your studies here, we'll be praying every day. And also at home, you'll be studying, you should pray before you enter into Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the first chapter, Mangalacharan, Srila Vyasadeva gives a benediction. If you seriously and attentively hear Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm going to show you a picture here. This is a picture of the first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. It's divided into sections. According to chapters. And here's the first section is the first six chapters, Narada and Vyas. And the sages of Naimisharanya. And the second is Krishna and his relationship with his devotees. The third section is Krishna's disappearance and what happens when Krishna disappears from this planet. And the last section is Pariksit, all about Pariksit, how he meets Shukadeva, how he's a great Mahabhagavat king. Each of these petals of the lotus is a chapter. So this will be also in this book that you'll be getting hopefully soon. For helping your study so you can understand what's in every chapter of the Bhagavatam. So in the first three verses, Srila Vyasadeva gives us a benediction. If we seriously hear Bhagavatam, we will capture Krishna in our hearts. And in the second chapter, there is a process from Shraddha to Prema, how this change takes place in the heart. And then when we go on, we'll see in the life of Narada Muni, how he experienced in his life this change of heart from Shraddha to Prema. Here Vyasadeva, he is unhappy because he could not be satisfied even after writing Vedanta Sutra, Mahabharata. So therefore Narada said, no, you have to write one book about Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore he wrote his book. Then in the middle section, we'll see how Krishna appears actually. In chapter 7, driving Arjuna's chariot, just like in Bhagavad Gita. You'll see Krishna the same way in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a connection between Gita and Bhagavat. It's one connection. There are many connections. This is one of them. That Krishna is driving Arjuna's chariot as he was in Bhagavad Gita. Actually, it's the end. In Bhagavad Gita, it's the beginning of the Battle of Kurukshetra. And Bhagavatam is the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra. It begins there. So then, we have Krishna reciprocating with Kunti, appearing before Bhishma, and then he's leaving Dwaraka and the separation of the devotees, and he's leaving Hastinapur and he's entering Dwaraka. Then Krishna leaves the planet, and they see so many inauspicious signs over here. Then as soon as Krishna leaves, his devotees leave. That's what happens in this last section. Dhritarashtra leaves, Pandavas leave, everybody leaves. Except Pariksha, he's left behind. So he has the power of Krishna. So Krishna, although Krishna left, he left behind a great Mahabhagavat king. So this is also one of the themes of the first chapter, that Krishna, wherever there is Krishna, there is all auspiciousness. And when Krishna leaves, there's all inauspiciousness. Although Krishna has left, Bhagavatam has come. Krishna's son has set, the Bhagavatam son has risen. So there is auspiciousness. So then we see the events of Maharaj Pariksit's life, how he's so strong, he can counteract Kali himself. But then he is cursed. But Kali enters through a Brahmin boy, and he is cursed. But the whole reason behind it is just so that Bhagavatam can be spoken. He was put into illusion that he put the snake on Shimiki's head. I mean, he was a pure devotee. He should not have done that. He was completely controlled, Pariksit. He never had a problem with hunger and thirst. You see, he fasted from water and everything for 7 days to hear Bhagavatam, so how could he not tolerate little hunger? He was burned in the womb, the Brahmashtra. He tolerated. So it was simply so that Bhagavatam could be spoken. And we can understand these things when we study the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now the second canto. Here's the second canto. It's three sections. Yoga processes. Actually, in the second canto, Srimad Bhagavatam arises like the sun. And it reveals the Vedic path in the first three chapters. The first three chapters, from meditation on the universal form to meditation on Supriso to Upasana Khanda, where they worship first the demigods, but then of course the conclusion is akama, sarakamava, moksha, kama, dharati. You should give up. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're full of desires, you have no desires, you want liberation, you should worship Krishna with devotional service. So then in the middle section we have universal form is appearing. Shukadev prays for empowerment, and then he tells a story about Narada and Brahma, where Brahma describes the creation, and then the universal form, and then all the incarnations. So these incarnations in chapter 7 will go into great detail with Gopi Pranadana Prabhu Saturdays. He'll be explaining to us underview of Srimad Bhagavatam. The last section we have, of course, the Chatushloki, Bhagavatam, and the 10 subject matters will appear. I'll just show you quickly 10 subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is Sarva, creation, sub-creation, planetary systems, protection by the Lord, Utaya, impetus for work, Manvantras, Ishana Patal, science of God, annihilation, Mukti, and Ashraya, Krishna, Sumam God. So this is like a preview of coming attractions in our Srimad Bhagavatam course. We can also look at this picture. This is the form of Bhagavatam in the third canto. We'll do a preview of the first six cantos because that's the whole Bhakti Vaibhav. This year we'll be covering the first and second cantos, and next year third and fourth, hopefully. That's our plan. That would take 8 months. And then the fifth and sixth will take 5 months in the third year. So in the third canto we have the Lord appearing as Varaha Rupa to deliver the earth by his strength. Then we have him appearing as Kapiladev to deliver Devahuti by his knowledge. So he's coming to deliver his devotees. And creation is extensively described here in the third canto. Then in the fourth canto we have different devotees worshipping Krishna for different reasons. We have Daksha and his sacrifice, worshipping fruit of sacrifice. We have Dhruva wanting material kingdom like it, greater than his grandfather. So he's full of desires. He's an example of someone full of desires. But then he becomes free from desires. And then we have King Preto, who's an incarnation. And then we have the Prachetas. And also in the last section, we will have Narada preaching to King Pachanavarni. So this fourth canto is an explanation of the verse, akama, sabakamava, moksha kama, udaradi. Whatever, you're full of desires or free from desires, simply worship Krishna. Then in the fifth canto, we learn about renunciation from Rishabdev and Jadabharat. And also we'll learn about all the structure of the universe. And we'll call in Dutta Karma to enlighten us about the structure of the universe at that time. So we'll have a very scientific explanation of the structure of the universe. And then in the sixth canto, we'll see, it's called Poshanam, how Krishna protects his devotees. He protects Ajamila, who had fallen down. He'll protect him through his holy name, Narayan. He'll protect Chitraketu, who falls into demoniac birth. And he'll also be delivered. So it's a very wonderful canto, sixth canto, how the Lord protects his devotees. So we will also learn in this sixth canto how devotional service is for everyone. It doesn't matter what is your birth. Ritushara was born a demon, but he could do devotional service. So canto 4, canto 6 also will show how devotional service can be performed in any stage of life. Dhruva as a small boy, Ajamila at time of death, Chitraketu in heaven, and Ritushara in hell. They were all performing devotional service. So now I'd like you to have a look at your handout. See if I have a copy of myself. On one page, you see there is a purport from Srimad Bhagavatam by Srila Prabhupada. We're not going to read that now. That's for your own use. You can read it at your leisure. I want you to turn to the page where it shows an outline, two outlines on the back. First outline is an outline of Prabhupada's purport. And in this purport, Srila Prabhupada gives us an explanation, an outline of the whole Bhagavatam from Canto 1 to 12. You look at this outline, everybody has this handout? Yes, okay, good. So Canto 1, Prabhupada says, questions and answers of the sages explain Krishna. So what he's saying is that in every canto it points to Krishna. This is Prabhupada's summary of the whole Bhagavatam. So we'll see this also. We'll see this in Bhagavatam. Every verse, every syllable points to Krishna. Canto 2, Chatushloki, is a succinct summary of Bhagavatam. Canto 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, Swayamuva Manvantara and Shakshusha Manvantara indicate Krishna. Canto 9, same as 8, Prabhupada said. Canto 10 and 11 elaborately explain Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Canto 12, Krishna's incarnations are further explained. Conclusion, Lord Krishna is the ultimate summum bonum or source of all energy. Now, I want you to look down underneath. There's an outline by Hanuman Prakshika Swami. And I asked him, and he said he never read this purport. But there are a lot of similarities between the two outlines. This will be the outline for his course on overview of Bhagavatam in 1 hour. So you can look here at his outline. Cantos 1 and 2 are Krishna's lotus feet. Cantos 3 to 9, Manvantara Lila. I won't get into all of that. Well, I'll just say Canto 3 to 7, Swayamuva Manu and children. Canto 4, Akuti, Devahuti, Devahuti's daughters, Prasuti. Canto 5, Priyavrat. Canto 6, Ajamila. Canto 8, 14 Manus. Canto 9, Vaishata Manu. Canto 10, Krishna Lila. Canto 11, Krishna's final Lila. Canto 12, Epilogue. So there's another preview. We're going to try and understand Srimad Bhagavatam from many angles of vision, because Bhagavatam is very deep and there are many levels of understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we're bringing in one devotee, cannot give you all the angles. We're bringing in many devotees so you can have many angles of vision on Srimad Bhagavatam. Can you turn this page again? So now, on your handout, yes, Prabhu. What's Prabhu?
Epilogue.
Oh, okay, yes, English second language. Epilogue means like ending or conclusion. Yes. Anybody who has problems with English, if you don't know a word, just, yes.
I'm curious about this. Underview.
Underview. Yes. I'm also curious. I'm very curious. What is this underview of Srimad Bhagavatam? As far as I've heard, he's going to analyze the verses backwards and forwards, the Sanskrit. and show how the whole Bhagavatam, you heard a class by him, right, where he said the whole Bhagavatam, there's incarnations in every, you know, each incarnation has its own chapter. And anyway, Gopi Pranadana on Saturday. Probably not. It's probably a new term, which Prabhupada had the habit of making up terms. So, we follow in his footsteps. We make up our own words as we go. So even those who know English will have to find out. Yes.
Perhaps he said that out of humility.
Yes.
Not to say all of you, like I'm just looking down to whatever.
Yes.
All of you is looking up.
Yeah. This is Gopi Pranadana's nature is to be very humble. So it could be his humility that he is saying this is an underview, Srimad Bhagavatam. And actually, it's another angle of vision. He's going to take the angle of the incarnations, how understanding through the incarnations. So you can ask him that question next Saturday when he comes. I'm sure he'll explain it anyway. So then you can turn. Now on your handout, there's one verse. I'll sing the verse, and then I'll tell you what we're going to do with this verse. Shima Bhagavatam Pranamamalam Yadvaishnavanam Yam Yasmin Paramahansyamekamamalam Gyanam Param Gite Tatra Gyana Viraka Bhakti Sahitam Naishkam Yama Vishkritam Tachin Vansu Patan Vichavanaparo Patya Vimuchyendara. Srimad Bhagavatam is a spotless Purana. It is most dear to the Vaishnavas because it describes the pure and supreme knowledge of the Paramahansas. This Bhagavatam reveals the means for becoming free from all material work together with the processes of transcendental knowledge, renunciation, and devotion. Anyone who seriously tries to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, who properly hears and chants it with devotion, becomes completely liberated. So, you see on the board here, there's if you look at your verse, the last line of your verse, there are three words. The words are Shinvan, Supatan, Vicharana, Paro. I got Krishna. I'll give to you. Okay, this is the verse on your handout, the bottom of your handout that I just read. If you look at the last line, you'll see three words. Now, these three words are going to give us different methods of studying or approaching Srimad Bhagavatam. And you can use one, or you can use all of these methods. And we'll be using all of these methods in our classes. But some people are more suited to Shinvan, hearing. So Shinvan means hearing. In our overviews and underviews, we'll be hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So systematic classes. Also, what you can do is sometimes in your own study, it's very helpful if you chant through a chapter in Sanskrit, then chant it through in English. It really gives you the flow of the chapter. And it gives you realizations also, just chanting the verses, especially the third chapter, which is on the incarnations, because if you chant that chapter, you get insight into Krishna's appearance and birth and activities. So Shinvan, Prabhupada said that hearing, this movement is meant for training spiritual leaders, but without hearing and chanting, it's impossible to become a leader. He says, of course, it's possible in the material world, not the spiritual world. Chanting and hearing must be there. Also, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Prabhupada said, used to test his disciples whether they would belong to the hearing class or to the dandavat class. He said, there are those who want to hear and those who simply come and make dandavats. So he was always testing to see what kind of disciple you were. Prabhupada said, I was the hearing class. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati noticed that this boy likes to hear. So hearing is very important. And Dravida Prabhu will also help us in this process of hearing and chanting. Supatan, intense study. So this is another approach which we'll be doing. In Burijan's book, You can use his study method, which I believe starts on page 17. Your teaching assistant, leader of your group, he will be explaining that today in your groups, how to approach this. It's very helpful to find the section themes of the sections of a chapter, and by analyzing the verse, making summaries. So this is his method. You can learn that here. This is intense study. And also another way to study intensely is to refer the verses to themes, such as the 10 subjects, the Chatushloki, Sambandha Videha Prayojan, Sandagras. So the sannyasis will be enlightening us on these topics. And the last category, Vicharana Paro. This is very important. Thinking, meditating on these verses. How can you apply these verses to your life? This is the third approach. And we'll be doing this also in your groups. Hopefully your presentations will be a reflection of your realizations. And the group will be very happy to hear your realizations and your presentations. So now I'd just like to discuss a little bit about your groups. Today you'll be meeting after this class, and you have a particular group now. It will last for the first two sections. After two sections, all the members in your group will change. You will change teachers, or perhaps after another two sections. I don't know how you're going to do it. Somehow or other, you're going to mix the students, so you get to associate with everyone in the class. So every two sections, the groups will change. The teachers, teaching assistants, will help you to prepare for your essays and your verbal presentations. And also, before the classes that we'll be giving on your schedule, it explains that what verses you're supposed to read, which verses will be lectured on each day. So, like, for example, next Monday the 15th is Canto 1, Chapter 1, Verse 1. And the second day is Verse 2. So you're in your groups, you'll be discussing those verses before the classes. And in this book, there's no homework, except you have to read all the section before the class that's assigned. It's written in your schedule. And this book, there are some questions which come in each chapter. You don't have to answer the questions. But for your final exam, we're going to take questions from this book. So you have all the questions on your exam already. They're coming right from this book. So there's no anxiety. But one thing you can do, you can read through the questions before you go to your group. Something you don't understand, you discuss it in your group. Yes, that book. Same book. So you please look over the questions, though you won't be required to write anything or do anything on them. We will take, for each chapter, we'll take one or two questions. Your final exam won't be very big. We decided that the essays will be assessed in the groups. Your essays, you'll have to do an essay for each section. The two best essays from the first canto will be counted as 60% of your assessment. Of course, there will be other things they'll explain in your group, other items of assessment, such as attendance, things like this will also be taken into consideration. And then 40% will be the exam. It will be a closed book exam, and there will be one or two questions from each. For the first canto, the exam will be in September, so between 30 to 38 questions and 6 verses, and it will be a 3-hour exam, and that's all. The closed book exam is not very big, but your essays and your presentations, they will count more, actually, a little more than the closed book exam. Because in this particular course, we're placing great emphasis on your presentations. We want to train up teachers and preachers. Okay? So then, in your groups, they'll be explaining all the assessment. Your essays will be 3 to 5 pages long, and your verbal presentation should be 10 to 15 minutes. Yes, you have a question?
3 to 5 pages.
Yes, 3 to 5. Your essay, each essay. So, your teachers will explain that the class schedule, you can just have a look at that. Now from Monday, the schedule will be 10 to 11:15 will be groups, and 11:30 to 1 we'll be having our class, our regular class. There will be a lecture on the verse, and there will be questions and answers afterwards. And there will be, if there's anything in your group that you would like to present to the class, there will be a time for that. And if there are some of the groups, are actually all the groups will be making presentations on different days, there will be time for that. And so, let's see, here it says on Saturday, July 13, Vajrabihari Das facilitation. So that is going to be postponed because he is not in good physical shape right now for teaching. He hasn't slept for 3 days. So he said, well, he'll give it next week sometime. It'll be an extra class. And the reason why we're having this class is because all of you in the groups will be leading the group. We're changing. Every week we're having a different group leader from your group. So everybody in the group will be having a chance to lead a group. So therefore, he's going to teach you how to do that for those who don't have the skills. So then on every Saturday, we have Gopi Pranadana. This also tells the sections. Actually, it's a little bit inaccurate. The section 2 will start on August 1st. Here it says August 5th. Section 2 will start on August 1st, and that will be when Virajan is scheduled to begin teaching Virajan Prabhu. I'll teach up through the July 31st, the first section. Second section will be Virajan Prabhu. Hopefully, we heard that he's getting his visa and he should be arriving by the 20th of July. And then the third section is correct. The fourth section is also incorrect. It should be on August 30th instead of August 29th. So these are the adjustments here. Does anybody have any questions on what we've discussed so far? Yes, Prabhu Bhutati?
I know that there are some slots in the schedule for here.
Right, there are sloka class. Right, I forgot to tell you. The first 2 weeks we've got sloka class. That will be Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday at 10 o'clock. And the groups will meet on Wednesday, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And your question is what happens after that?
Yeah.
Well, if we catch Atma Tattva Prabhu, then we will have classes with Atma Tattva Prabhu on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. Sambandha Abhidaya and Prayojan. And if so far he hasn't come, he was supposed to come on the 10th. He had jaundice. He was supposed to come on the 1st or 2nd, and he got jaundice. So we don't know when he's coming, or even if I think he's coming. And if he doesn't come, then you'll have the time free on 3 days a week, more time to study. Okay, any other questions? Yes, Guru.
Two similar forms, we could repeat for very high-up essays, comments, and additional slots
for comments. Uh-huh. Okay, well, this, your teaching assistant will explain this to you today at 11:30, or maybe even before, if this class ends quickly. The teaching assistants will explain all your other papers to you in your groups. All the papers about group work and assessment and those kind of things. Any other questions?
Yes.
Yes?
Please. What is a section?
Okay, that's a good question. Okay, a section is actually, I can explain it better here, this picture. It's a group of chapters. They're grouped together according to story or philosophical theme. So actually there's two sections here. The first three chapters is the first section of the first canto. And you'll have, because there's an underlying theme there of parampara, guru, disciple. And then also actually it's underlying the whole six. Then the next three, it's the story of Vyas, Narada Muni. It's different. Seeing a different setting. That's the second section. The third section is chapters 7 to 11 about Krishna and his relationship with his devotees. The fourth section is actually 13 through 15. Bhurijan is taking chapter 12 and putting it with the rest of Parikshit. Chapter 12 is the birth of Parikshit, so Bhurijan is putting it with the rest of Parikshit's life. So you'll be studying 13 through 15 as the fourth section, and the fifth section will be 12, 16 through 17. That's the fifth section. And then I'll tell you two more. The sixth section is chapters 1 to 3 of Second Canto. Seventh section is chapters 4 to 7. And the eighth section is chapters 8 to 10. And so basically it follows stories or philosophical themes of the Bhagavatam. And with the whole Bhagavatam is actually, these are all sections of the Bhagavatam. Each of these petals is a section. Pardon me?
Who's the author of all the art?
Yeah, the artist is Shatadhamma. And it's my book. I told her what to do, like that. So we collaborated together. I was doing the philosophical research part, and she's doing the artistic part. So we have a collaboration here. The book will come out, hopefully. We're having a little trouble with the printers and with money also, so we're trying to get it together as soon as possible. We'll have it for you. So you just, it'll be like an 8x10 book, and this picture will be a fold-out. And then another next fold-out you're going to see on Monday is Braj Leela. There will be a fold-out on the first 40 chapters of 10th Canto, Braj Leela. Fold-out on Dwarka Mathura Leela. And then the rest of the cantos will have one or two pictures just like this. Just like this, one or two, where it just gives you. So you can just, and there will be a short description next to it, like what is for each chapter. So you can follow, okay, this chapter, what's in it. So it's very good for a student, just so you know what's in every chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And how they're coming together, what are the sections,
stories. I'll ask you a specific thing you can talk to read this section.
Yeah, easy. You can, you just, actually you just even learn the parts of your body. You can get, you know, what's your feet. One foot is first canto, one first foot is second. First canto, there's five sections. You just go through it. And then you got the whole Bhagavatam at your fingertips. So it's just an aid for students. There's not any great... actually, Bhairajan Prabhu is going to write the great philosophical book on Srimad Bhagavatam. How all the chapters are connected and essays on each chapter, and that's going to take a while. And that's why we're both teaching, because while I'm teaching, he's going to be writing. And while he's teaching, I'm going to be listening to him. Because actually, he's the one who's actually the teacher. And I'm just like Bharat, you know, carrying his shoes in his absence. And so when he comes, then he'll be actually teaching, of course. And we'll see. So yeah, when this book comes out, then we can... We'll let you know.
I was unfortunate not to make it yesterday.
Yes.
I'm still traveling.
Oh.
Did you introduce yourself yesterday?
Yes, I did.
To know where you come from.
So am I.
Briefly. What your background is.
Okay. Well, since you asked that question, at the age of 10, I was also wondering where I was from, because I was sitting in the classroom. I was looking at all the kids, and I was thinking, I don't know where I'm from, but one thing I know, I'm not from here. I was looking at the kids, and I was thinking, I'm not American. I don't know, maybe I'm from another country, or maybe I'm even from another planet. One thing I know, I'm not from here. So one thing I know. I knew that since I was young. Okay, so my background. I joined 1970 in Boston, and that was a very wonderful temple. My first service was Harinam Sankirtan from 10 in the morning till 10 at night. And I was just singing and just chanting and dancing. Very nice service. Best service I ever had. And then after 2 months, Giriraj Swami was my Sankirtan leader. He said, now you should speak. And I said, but what do I know? He says, come on, you've been a devotee 2 months now. You should know the whole... Actually, it was true. I memorized the whole Bhagavad Gita in 2 months, because my Sankirtan leader was Jadarani. I mean, my Bhakti leader. First 2 months, I had my husband, but I left him to join. Then he joined 2 months later. So I was with the Bhakti Nashram for 2 months, because his source, he's a hippie, so he wouldn't work. He refused to work his whole life. He never worked, so I was supporting him. So when his support went, he joined. So that was the beginning. And then after, I was in Boston for 6 months, and my president, Satsarup Maharaj, he was only Grihastha, he was Satsarup Das, he decided to send my husband and I to Florida. Now, Boston is on the top of America and Florida is on the bottom. So he says, I'm sending you to Florida. So he put us out on the road with all our belongings in boxes, and we had to hitchhike, which is very far. But that was the early days. It was just like anything goes. So then we were in Florida. Then after I got initiated, what happened was my husband joined 2 months after me. So the standard was you have to wait 6 months for initiation. I was ready, and my husband, Satsarup Maharaj said, you wait 2 months more for your husband. I said, okay, 8 months. I waited 8 months. My husband says, I'm not ready. I said, I'm not waiting any longer. I wrote to Prabhupada, because I had read the Bhagavatam. We had first and second cantos. We had the first three chapters. So third chapter, I quoted the verse, if you don't get the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee, you're a dead body. So I sent that verse to Prabhupada. I said, you don't initiate me, then there's no use for me to live. So he initiated me, and he gave me six instructions in my initiation letter. He said, you should chant at least 16 rounds, should follow strictly regular principles, you should read and study all the books, you should do deity worship, and you should do sankirtan, preaching. So all of those I'm doing. The last one is very hard. He said, 24 hours be engaged, Krishna consciousness. So far I did the first five. The last one I'm still trying. And then he sent me a second letter. So it was more advanced. It was after a few more months, a little more advanced, more instruction. He said, cooperate with the devotees. Now that was really hard. That's the hardest. So then also he said, work sincerely and enthusiastically. So those were the instructions I got. Shri Prabhupada. Then I came to India again. We were in Florida. After being in Florida 6 months, we were sent to start our own temple, my husband and I, because we were old devotees by then. He wasn't initiated yet, but it didn't matter. We started our own temple. And then after a little bit of that, we went to Dallas for 1 month. Prabhupada said, I want 50 devotees to come to India. So Satsarup Maharaj volunteered us. He said, I'm sending you to India. We said, oh no, not again, we got a hitchhike. So anyway, we hitchhiked to New York. And then we were collecting for our tickets. We had these little pamphlets. Who is crazy? So we were distributing them for 25 cents. And we made our tickets to India one way. Because Prabhupada told us to go, he didn't tell us to go back, so we went. And we never went back. Been here since 1972 in India. So then, he didn't tell us. He didn't tell me yet, so he didn't go yet. Then, 72, we landed in Calcutta. Actually, in Bombay, it was very austere, 1972. Very austere with the deities were in a tent. And you can imagine where the devotees were. Devotees were in this indescribable hut. The men were in a hut. And it was the prasadam room, the Ramachari ashram, the kitchen, everything. Everything you name it, it was. And the ladies' ashram was on the roof of the building. We didn't even have the roof over our head. It was summer, and we were up there on the roof. Anyway, fortunately, I was only there for a week. And we were sent to Calcutta, which was also austere, but not. We had a roof over our head. No lights, no water, but anyway, at least a roof. So then, there I was pujari for Radha Govinda for 7 years. While Prabhupada was here, I was pujari. Actually, Prabhupada's mercy. Anyway, I was pujari there for 7 years, and There I learned a lot about Krishna, Krishna consciousness, and how to live in Krishna consciousness. And then after that, I was sent to Bombay. So our women's party, we were the first traveling Sankirtan in India. We did traveling Sankirtan in Gujarat, Maharashtra, Rajasthan. People had never seen devotees before. And our main problem was when we would run out of books, there would be a riot. So we wouldn't tell them. We would just say, we're going back to our hotel to bring some more books, and then we would leave town fast. Because it was like that. Very ecstatic to sell books in India, or to be the first devotees. People, they didn't know who we were, what we were. So then, and then after that, after 8 years, then I became a mother. So I had a son, I took care of him. I went to Goa, which was a nice place, nice village, village life on the beach. So, and then I came here in Vrindavan in 1993. When my husband separated from me in 1992, then after 3 months, I just got a very strong call to come to Vrindavan. It wasn't my idea, it was actually Radhapad, who recently died, one of our devotees. He called me to Mayapur and he wanted me to stay there. It didn't work out, so he said, okay, come to Vrindavan. So then I said, okay, come to Vrindavan. So for 1 year, I was here and I didn't know what my service was because I had done so many services before. So I was praying to Krishna, what's my service? So then I decided, okay, until I find out, I'm just going to study the books, because that's all I want to do anyway, just read the books. And I was doing that. Actually, throughout all my services, I was always studying the books. I never gave a class while I was studying the books. So then, not studying, reading for pleasure. Studying is another thing. I didn't start studying until I had to start teaching. Studying is hard work. You have to prepare for everyone. And so then, 1993, I came here. And by 1990, then I started my own. In my house, I was teaching Bhagavad Gita. 1997, then I started teaching here. Actually, they asked me, they said, oh, we're going to have a women's Bhakti Shastri. I said, oh, really? Good, I want to come. They said, no, we want you to teach. So I said, okay. Anyway, so I started teaching in 1997, and then ever since then I'm teaching. That was the first time I gave class, and I didn't know I could do it. I was really scared. But it kind of comes naturally. And so I'm teaching now. And last 2 years, I stopped teaching just to study Bhagavatam so that I could present Srimad Bhagavatam in a systematic way, following Bharija Prabhu. And he will be the main teacher, and I'll just try to facilitate him. And but what I will give in my classes is Prabhupada's lectures, which I have researched, Prabhupada's conversations, lectures. I'll bring that into the class. And often he analyzes the verse word by word. So we have like a commentary on his purports when we hear his lectures. He'll bring in beautiful stories and elegies and things that you don't see in the purports. So that will be my contribution to this Bhakti Vaibhav. Any other questions? You're welcome. What's your name, Prabhu?
Paramakara.
Oh, wonderful. So we need your mercy. Paramakara. Bahuduijana. Nitai Gorachan. Any other questions? Okay. So you will have your groups now at 11:30, and I will see you all Monday at 11:30 when we will begin our Srimad Bhagavatam, the verses actually. Yes, you have a question?
So we don't have a class tomorrow.
No, nothing is tomorrow. Nothing is tomorrow. Not till Monday. You're in the hearing group, right?
Yeah.
Not the Dandavats. Okay, so you'll be coming 11:30, your class, and the groups will meet at 10, those who are in groups. Okay. Jai Vanshika Patu Bischa.